John, the idea of past lives is so fascinating. Just the wonderful information you're sharing is just so powerful and amazing. And as I've mentioned, people want a practical application for things. They want to know, okay, I've got this information. Now, how does this affect me? How does this come into play in my life? So, John, how does this affect our lives individually on a practical level, this knowledge of past lives, future lives, and alternate realities?
It actually has some very, very practical implications, and I'll give you some examples to illustrate that. For example, there was a time as I grew up, English wasn't really my first language, and I spoke with this accent of the countryside, you know, the country boy thing. And I was so shy. I know you don't believe that, but I was so shy at everything. I couldn't speak to people. I couldn't, I tried to be alone all the time and not relate to people because I was shy. And I didn't think I could do this sort of thing. And one day I was sitting quietly. This is now I've grown up. I'm a teenager, and soon I'll be going to college, and I still am a little bit shy. But I got the feeling, I kept getting this picture in my mind that I was in a crowd of people, and my father of this lifetime was there, and there was a big war, and he was telling people, he was saying to them, go get under there, get into the shelter. And there were these flying things, like they didn't look like airplanes, they were just flying. And I am there, I knew I was there, and I couldn't figure what was going until my dad turned to me and said, you've got to lead them, you know that you are the guy they follow, you've got to lead them, talk to them. I'm your dad, but I've got to do the other stuff. Now, you might say, what a silly dream. But I thought about it. I said, you know, perhaps written within me is the information. If there is another time and another place, and information is never destroyed, just like, remember, I learned in school in chemistry or physics, energy is not destroyed, it is just transformed. We cannot destroy it. It's not created, it just takes different forms. I said, you know, maybe this thing, that maybe there's a giant library in the universe someplace. At this time, there was no such thing as Facebook or internet or anything, but I'm already thinking this, okay? There's a giant library, and maybe in my dreams, I could go there and look for, in this lifetime, my name is John, but it didn't have to be John. You know, the thing about a rose by any other name would smell it sweet. So whatever John was called, if there was another time, and I was involved in it, the record's got to be around. And if the record is around, then I can access it if I know how. So maybe there is a giant library in the sky. And would you believe, and maybe there's a book that has these records. And as a young guy, I kind of think that'd be a hell of a big book. And it'll take you forever to look through that book. And then it's like a voice said to me, but that's all the time you have, John. It's called forever. And I heard myself asking the question, how long is forever? And the answer was, a long, long, long time, which means you have all the time you ever want. So this is in the meanderings in my mind. I still don't know if it's real or not. But for me, it was, because I did something about it. I reflected back. I said, if I could get to that book. Years later, I found out they talked about the Akashic records, where these things are written and so forth and so on. And I said, you know, if I could access the part where I was leading and speaking to and being a public figure there, maybe a part of that could come back to help me overcome the shyness, overcome some of these things I called handicap, to speak very clearly, to convey simple information, and to lead people. And I said, oh, so if I have the ability, all I got to do is use it. So guess what happened? The first year in a foreign country, I was president of the freshman class in college. See how it helps practically? President of the freshman class, the vice president of the junior class, the president of the senior class. And I got into all kinds of things because I tapped into that area where I was confident in what I was doing. Now, somebody might say, John, it was all in your imagination. And I'll say, you know, I really don't care. Let me tell you why I don't care. fear because the results were very positive. I'm no longer that little shy boy who never wants to talk. I just don't talk with that stutter I used to have. I have talked to crowds of thousands all over the world. So obviously it's practical. And by the way, people pay me ridiculous sums to speak for them. That's a side benefit of this whole thing.
And that's certainly practical. Now, John, moving on to other practical implications of this, my understanding with past lives and having worked with clients as a hypnotherapist and having taken them back to past lives, my understanding is that when you have a challenge in this lifetime, let's say, for example, let's take a classic one, a fear of wearing a turtleneck sweater, that you can take someone back to a past life, find out that they were hung from a tree in a past life, and the turtleneck now represents the noose in this current life, so they're afraid of the turtleneck because they're afraid of death again. And so when we go back to the past life, they get released from that, and they're able to wear turtlenecks. That's just one of many applications that I can think of in working with clients, but I'd like you to share with us some applications along those lines, some practical applications where we can go back into a past life, whether it's through hypnosis or meditation or what have you, find out something that happened and get some relief or release from it.
Brilliant. I am just so glad that you brought that up because that's another one of these great practical applications of the knowledge of this. I have been put through what they call past life regression myself a number of times by people, some of the top people in the world. What you are doing with your business there, with your talent, Steve, is fantastic if you were to apply it totally to this, let's call it past life situation. Yes, absolutely. There are people who have fears of heights. I give a personal one. I like to give personal examples, not things that happen too much to too many people that you can't or anybody can't relate to. But my wife, she moved on at a very young age, but we had a wonderful marriage and everything else. But she always was so scared of being in tiny closed spaces. I remember even an elevator in New York. If it was crowded, you know what it is like in New York. You just, if it could take 10, 14 people will go into it and they'll jam themselves like sardines. She would never do that. She would rather walk up 20 flights or wait for the next one, even if it took 10 minutes. And I always wonder, why is she doing that? Until one day, we met someone who was very good at taking you back into your past experiences and found out that she was a very important person in the Egyptian time. And one of their sort of not very pleasant habits at times was if you were very famous and you had a wife, then when you died, they'd bury the wife with you.
Even if she was still alive?
I think so. Some of them did. I don't think all of them did. But wow. She had this fear of being buried alive, okay? And then in a book again that Bach wrote, he talked about this gal who was afraid of heights until he took her flying. And then she realized the reason she was afraid of heights was that she had at one time in an alternate life fallen from a tall place, a tall building or tree, and died and was always afraid of heights and this. So the minute, here is what happened, the power you have to help people with this is amazing. The minute they understand this, they're freed of it. Like the guy with the sweater you mentioned or the gal wearing the sweater, the turtleneck sweater, it's like what they are doing is what we call reacting to remembered adventures, reacting to remembered situations. A hanging in any form, in any time, is not a pleasant thing. So it must have written some very deep memory patterns within their total overall consciousness, which they don't understand, but they react to it in fear because of that one incident. Just yesterday, I was talking to somebody. I speak to people, consult with them throughout the world about these things. And this person, brilliant as she is, always comes to the point of where she could make giant strides into being an absolute authority in what she does. And then at the last moment, she blows it. In one stupid moment, she blows it all. And couldn't figure why until we investigated it. And it was in another time where she worked in a situation that was very high level in what we found out, because I could see the pictures when I do this, you know, when I get into that mode, so to say. And I found out that she was like in a European situation, and it wasn't even the 20th century. It was earlier, maybe 18th or something. And because of a slight little variation on something, making a mistake in the work she was doing, she was, I mean, the sentence was awful. She was sentenced to die, and it could have been for a simple little thing. And so she always tried not to continue to the end where the project would be finished, because there was this fear of being punished. Once she discovered that she was reacting to remembered situations, she was released. She was free. And there's a lot done with this. I have looked at this for over 30 years, where regressive hypnotism has really helped a lot of people to cure a lot of bad habits and so forth. So if the question is there any practical application to it? There you have it.
Very, very well put. And you know, one thing I'm catching on to, John, as you talk, is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think that as opposed to most people, when they look at past lives and future lives, they look at it in a linear sense. The past is in the past, we're in the present now, and the future's in the future. But I just heard you mention a moment ago, when you were referring to something that we would normally call a past life, you called it an alternative life, or an alternative reality. Use one of those two phrases. So is that the phraseology you use when you talk about past lives, to put us in remembrance of your TV metaphor, where all these channels are available at all times?
Yes, Steve. The reason I use the terminology past lives, and I could live my life, my current life, without ever having to refer to past life. The reason I do is most people who are just getting into this, or who know a little bit about it, think of it sequentially. They think of it as a past life, because we were born, we're a little kiddies, and then we grew up and we became adults, and then we get old and we die and something happens. We are so hypnotized into that. And therefore, if I start talking about alternate lives, people get a little confused. But when I do speak in groups where they're all aware of this, my belief actually is that it's all happening at one time. Right now, it's all happening. But since we're talking about a universe which is infinite, nobody knows the size of it. They think it's expanding all the time. And the minute they discover something, else that contradicts that. For example, they talk of, at one time, if you remember, so you're a young man, you still could remember this, that light is the fastest thing there is.
Right.
The speed of light, nothing is faster than that. Even in Einstein's time. But we know over the past few decades that they've got some particles, some subatomic things. And by things, I'm not being facetious. We don't even know what they are, but they're called tachyons. Tachyons travel about 3 or 4 times the speed of light. And then we'll discover something else. And then we get into the real metaphysics of things, where we will realize that what was said in the book, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, when the young Jonathan turned to the old wise seagull and talked about perfect speed. And Chang, the old seagull, discussed it with him and said, "Perfect speed, my son, is being there." And that means you can be anywhere and anywhen at the change of a thought, almost instantaneously. Actually, we do that now. We can imagine ourselves, we're going on a vacation, and then we sit back and we review, we're going to do this, we're going to go to the pool, we're going to go to the beach. We're going ahead a little bit. But because we don't understand all the things about that, we don't affect it as much. But here's a simple way how you know you affect it. If you think you're going to have a great time, chances are you will. If you think it's going to be a horrid time, chances are it's going to be, whichever one you think is going to be right. So let's use the if word here. If we're sitting here and all these lifetimes and so forth are happening right this moment, in not a second or a mini second, but in a nanosecond, and even in a billionth of a nanosecond, then everything exists at once. I did say earlier there is a reason for not having access to it all at one time, because it'll drive us nuts in this reality picture. For some reason, we're on Earth because it's Schoolhouse Earth. But if I wanted to, I could since they all are existing right now, and you can call them past, present, future, it wouldn't matter if they're existing right now. Just as a nomenclature, if you will, we can label them. But if they're all existing right now, it means that one with the bagpipes is happening right now. It means, here's a practical application, if I am depressed right now, I could go and think and try to access one of the alternate systems in which I exist, in which I am extremely happy. And without even trying, I'll find that I relax myself and I start smiling and I'm getting data from that. I remember cases where people ask their alternate self in an alternate time zone to for information. And if they are sensitive enough, and the sensitivity, it's not that you're, you know, all of us are born with certain things and some develop them and some ignore them. But we can train ourselves to do this. If we are facing a major problem right now in life, whether it be money, health, relationship, we could sit back and play a game. Imagine it's a game, because we talk of the game of life. Imagine it's a game and just say, I'm going to find if there is a John that exists somewhere. I want him to be maybe 21st century John, who's got some wisdom, or maybe 22nd century John, who knows what this John has gone through totally immediately. And I say to myself, I wonder if I were to meet John sometime in the future, or to make it even more practical, let's forget another timeline. Let's say just this earth, this lifetime timeline ahead of me. Go ahead, 10 years from now, talk to the John of 10 years from now. What would he tell me? You know what he might say? And by the way, we can access that John, because where is he? Well, here's the question. Where's that little boy that lived in the village in Guyana, South America? Guess where he is? Right here. Where is that John of 10 years from now? Guess where he is? Right here. So maybe I can access that and say, hey, John number 3, let's call him John number 3, what did you do to get through this terrible time that you had in the year 2011, the beginning, or in 2012, or 2009? What did you do? How did you make it through? And then you shut up, and you get real quiet, and you don't listen for words. The universe speaks to us generally not in words, because if it did in words, we'd go crazy too. But we will get a feeling, which is then translated into words. Words are meant to convey data and feelings. So we will get the answer from that alternate self of ours to say, you know, John, you were thinking of moving from where you are to go to another thing, and that's what I did. And when I did it, it wasn't the best thing to do, and I had to come back to the very area. So if I had to do it again, I wouldn't have moved. And you said to yourself, oh my gosh, I was thinking of moving. Maybe I shouldn't, you know, the best way to learn from mistakes or to learn from other people's mistakes, because learning for yourself sometimes is not very pleasant. So I'll sit back and say, thank you, John number 3. Maybe I'll put off that moving for a while. See how information could be very useful. That's how it goes on and on.
That is very powerful. You know, John, as you talk, one of the things that comes to my mind is that in NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, and in hypnotherapy, both of which I practice, many times the attempt is to get the client to tap into a time when they had the resources that they need. Let's say, for example, they're feeling a lack of confidence or lack of motivation or a creative slump or something along those lines. The challenge is to take them back through either neurolinguistic programming techniques or through hypnotherapy, basically to have them imagine a timeline in their minds, have them move in their minds back to that time, go back to that time, relive it, remember how powerful they were, and bring that into the present. That's a technique that we use. However, it becomes even more powerful now in my mind, because I'm now realizing that I'm not taking them back to something that no longer exists. I'm taking them back, or not really back, I'm taking them to something that's happening concurrently. It's happening while this reality is happening, so it's still very real. So from now on, my sessions are going to be much more powerful when I work with people.
That is so great, because NLP, by the way, is a very, very powerful modality. And you're one of the few guys I know who is fantastically good in it, and so is the hypnotherapy practice. And using those things, you take them back. And again, we use the words like take back, but if there's no forward or back, that word doesn't mean anything. But sometimes people are not prepared to do that right now. So what they're doing is they're tapping into, when you send them, so to say, back, quote unquote, you're sending them to a reality that exists right now. And as I have always believed, I think I wrote it in one of my books, remember the times of your great successes and you will become stronger and more able to get greater successes. And that's what it is in a different way, so to say, that you're doing with people. You're taking them back so they can feel that. Now people say, but that's not real. Well, let me ask something of the people who say that. Wasn't yesterday's experiences real? You bet. While you were going through it, it was real. So what makes it not real? You can make it real again by actually just remembering. Our memory banks can do a lot of things. And if you think, if you're going into the future to an alternate reality and you're thinking, I'm just imagining it, you know, I used to break up as a game when I was younger the word imagine to I am magic. It's an interesting way to look at it. Yes, imagination, Einstein talked a lot about it, and you probably gathered from mentioning his name a number of times that I have a tremendous, great respect for Einstein. And he mentioned that the imagination is so powerful. I mean, it is called by some the scissors of the mind. As you imagine it and as you believe it, it happens. This is one of the secrets of creation or making things happen or of event formation, which is one of the things I hope we get to speak about in the series. But this is really a magical area you're touching, Steve. And most people, because again, of belief, will not buy into it. So they have to be led to it and they have to be given simple examples. So again, these tools that you talk about, these things you use to help you, hypnotherapy to help your clients, NLP being a very powerful thing, they could bring back to them a lot of memories which will solve their current situations. I think that's a wonderful thing, because these have got to be practical things. You know, if you want to just think of past or alternate lives or lifetimes or existences just for the heck of it, you will be just as entertained as if you go watch a movie. And you know why movies relate so much to us, why we like movies? Because they remind us of aspects of ourselves that may have encountered, watched, or partaken in some of these things.
Very, very well put. And speaking of memory, John, you talk about soul memory and tapping into soul memory and using that information and wisdom to make our current lives happier and more successful. I know I've heard you talk about this before. I'd like you to elaborate on that. What is soul memory and how do we use it to make our current lives happier and more successful?
Here is a simple example of how I can explain it. Think of soul memory as this memory, this data, this information that exists in a giant hard drive in the sky, you know, like billions of gigabytes of information about me, about you, and about all my alternate selves and yours and every one of the approximately 7 billion of us on Earth. That would be a very powerful database. All we have to do is to tap into it. How do we tap into it? Well, we use the keyboard, like a computer, right? If we want to access our hard drive, and we use our minds as the keyboard. We are tied to that hard drive by a wire made of nothing, which is no thing. And we can access it through quietness. The keyboard is in our minds. We can access it in dreams. We can access it in different ways to solve our problems. So it's not difficult, but it takes some time to get used to do it. All it does is practice. We just practice how to do it. But the problem with that is that as we're doing it, we think we're stupid. I think I am when I used to practice a new thing. This is stupid. Why am I doing this? But if I continue for a while, I discover that, oh, I can do this. I could intuitively pick up on this thing. I could access whichever area I want right away, and I'll get the data in feelings and sometimes in dreams. So that's what I mean, how we can access this giant database, which some might call, I want to call it soul memory, where all the information of all human beings and other species on Earth is stored somewhere, based on the principle again that we cannot create or destroy things. They just transform themselves. So let's get to that big hard drive in the sky.
Yes, I'm fascinated by getting to the great hard drive in the sky, and I want to tap into it. Now, how do we do that, and how do we make our lives happier and more successful by doing that?
Well, let's use a current-day information system, Steve. Let's use an example from today. If I were to be able to tap into all my friends' account in the bank and withdraw $10, let's say they gave me permission, anytime I want, I'd never be broke, right? I'll have all access to all the money I need. If I were to be able to tap into an area where there's every information about every problem I have ever encountered and every solution to each and every one of them and to every problem that will ever be occurring to me, I will get the solution to those problems and there'll be actually no problem. So the question is, why don't we do that? Part of the answer is this. We have all the answers. We just haven't figured out the questions. We don't ask the right question. And that's why it doesn't happen. So there are certain simple practices. One is the quietness, the silence. We got to go into the silence, because if we don't, all we're doing is we're all busybodies and we're all chatterboxes. And the longest conversation anyone will ever have is the one they have with themselves every day from the moment they're awake until they fall asleep. And sometimes even through the night when they're sleeping, because they're talking to themselves, they're asking themselves questions, and they're answering that. And when they do that, they close off the space for any new things to come in. So we got to get to be quiet. Instead of saying, oh, heck, I missed that red light. You know, we say it in our minds. I missed that green light. I knew I should have gone a little faster, or I should have done this. Oh, my goodness, I got so many things to do. What am I going to do? And so is going to be calling me. Oh, my gosh, I got to be on the phone with. You see what's happening there? There's no quote-unquote space for this data to come in. And if it does, we're not watching it. We are not focused on it. So we've got to start developing moments of quietness. This, I think, is the most important thing to learn to do if one wants to access all these really magical things we talk about. Remember, Einstein said, all things are, all things should be made as simple as possible and not one bit simpler. And a French mathematician said, God is simple, all else is complex. Now, we try to make things complex, and it couldn't just be that. Just be quiet? No, I can't just be quiet. What would happen? I'd be bored to death. Well, let me assure you, you will never be bored to death if you spend quality time with yourself, looking at how magical you are, what access you have to all this stuff. But instead of trying to access the database, the giant hard drive in the sky right away, you got to make the proper connections, just like you do in the computer. You have a computer, you have the keyboard, you have some wires, or it's Bluetooth or wireless or something, and you've got a central hub or whatever it is. You got to make sure the connections are set up before you access and retrieve data, or you ask it to do things. Actually, you just got to make sure you turn your computer on. How do you do that? By turning the noise in your mind off.
Wonderful advice, John. I think that so many people could live longer, healthier, happier, more productive lives if they would just tune into that. Well, John Harry Sharan, it's always a pleasure. It's been wonderful learning about past lives, future lives, alternate realities. In fact, I'm probably going to stop calling them past lives and future lives now because of my new enlightened information from you. But just for the sake of relating to people, I may retain that from time to time just so they know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. However, you have made it so clear in your brilliant illustration of the TV channels that everything happens at one time, and you've talked about soul memory and the practical applications of everything, and you've just tied it up so neatly, as you always do. John, thank you for being part of this interview today and sharing your wealth of knowledge with us.
It was my pleasure, Steve. It's my pleasure. I enjoy it as much. Every time I say it, I remember it better. And I, too, have to practice it even more than I tell people to. So I appreciate being here, and thank you.
Well, thank you. And on behalf of John Harry Sharan and myself, Steve G. Jones, we wish you an outstanding life.